In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the lesson of Saint of Jeremiah. Therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak to them all that command thee. Be not afraid at their presence, for I will make thee not fear their countenance. For behold, I have made thee this day a fortified city, and a pillar of iron, and a wall of brass over the land, to the kings of Judah, and to the princes thereof, and to the priests, and to all the people of the land. They shall fight against them, and shall not prevail, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Please stand for the Gospel. A continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. For Herod himself had sent and apprehended John, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, the wife of Philip his brother, because he had married her. For John said to Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now Herodias laid snares for him, and was desirous to put him to death, and could not. For Herod feared John, knowing him to be a just and holy man, and kept him when he heard him, did many things. And he heard him willingly. And when a convenient day was to come, Herod made a supper for his birthday for the princes and the tribunes and the chief men of Galilee. And when his daughter of the same Herodias had come in and had danced and pleased Herod and them that were at table with him, the king said to the damsel, Ask of me what thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. And he swore to her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask, I will give thee, though it be half of my kingdom. Who, when she was gone out, said to her mother, What shall I ask of him? But her mother said, The head of John the Baptist. And when she was come immediately with haste to the king, she asked, saying, I will that forthwith thou should give me in a dish the head of John the Baptist. And the king was struck sad. Yet because of his oath, and because of them that were with him at table, he would not displease her. But sending an executioner, he commanded that his head should be brought in on a dish. And he beheaded him in prison, and brought his head in a dish, and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother, which the disciples, hearing, came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. And when the daughter of that same Herodias had come in and danced and pleased Herod, and they that them with table, the king said to the damsel, Ask what thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So gathered here today on the feast of the decapitation of St. John the Baptist, we think of a few things. When we ponder this feast, we recognize that St. John the Baptist, one of the greatest, as Jesus himself speaks, saying, No man born of woman is greater than he, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is such a great saint that we not only give him a single feast day over the course of the year, but rather we recognize him in two feasts of the year, not just recognizing his death, but we recognize the birth of St. John the Baptist. Bernard of Clairvaux has something to say about this. He says, the reason why we celebrate this day, the birth of St. John the Baptist, with greater solemnity than we do the day of his death, which is contrary to the way in which we treat the whole corpus of the saints, is because John the Baptist was born, was come into this world in order to be born, that he might prepare the way for Jesus Christ. This is an important aspect. This is the way in which he differs from his cousin, Jesus the Lord. Jesus was born for what? That he might die. John was born that he may provide the way. Not born to die, but born to live. And that's why we celebrate the feast of St. John the Baptist as a solemnity, as a first-class feast in the church, whereas this is just a third-class feast. We won't say the creed or anything like that or celebrate it with greater dignity and solemnity than that. It's just a normal sort of feast that we celebrate today. Why do we celebrate it on the 29th? The reason why we celebrate it on the 29th is because today marks the day where the head of St. John the Baptist was recovered, found where it was, and then summarily taken to Rome. So that's what we commemorate today, the fact that that head, which was sliced from his body, was recovered. And so we celebrate that decapitation because we found that caput, that head of St. John the Baptist, and it was then taken to Rome for safekeeping, which is where you can find it there in the Church of all churches, the Cathedral of all cathedrals, the Lateran Basilica in Rome. You can find it there. We look at St. John the Baptist and we recognize something about his life, especially as we celebrate this feast day. We look at him and we see Herod, his great sin, which caused the death of this great saint. Whereas when you read further in the scriptures, you find that Jesus himself was greatly saddened when he found out that the death of John the Baptist had occurred. Why? Why was he saddened? One, it's his cousin. Two, because now he knows that he is the light. And everything that he does from the moment that he hears the death of John the Baptist has come about hastens his coming into his kingdom, hastens his own death. He knows that he's the only one that is bringing light in the world. The forerunner has run his course, and now it's on him to take that blazing fire of himself so that it may be raised up before all people. He himself may be glorified there upon the cross. When we look at the life of Herod, we see in Herod a many great number of sins. I won't go over them all today. We'll save that for another time because our time is short this morning. But Herod began all of this with his sin of adultery, his sin of taking his brother's wife. Can you think of another time in history where there was a great scandal and a great difficulty within the whole of church, the whole of Christendom, because a man took his brother's wife? You can't think of one? What about the lustful loins of Henry VIII, which split Christendom, which created the Anglican Church? Henry VIII took his brother's wife, also a Philip. Herod's brother was a Philip. So too, the wife of, what's her name? She gave us Mary, Queen of Scots, but I forget her name. You'll remember it. Not Anne Boleyn, that's who was divorced in order to get her. Anyway, you know who it is that I'm talking about. When he decided to divorce his brothers, he was married first, then found that this marriage was invalid because of situation. So he was given permission to be able to marry his brother's wife, his brother's widow, which would not have been allowed normally. So he was able to take her in. And then he wasn't able to get a bride, and so he decided, or get a son out of this bride, so he dismissed her summarily. And so too, through this act of adultery, destroyed the Church of Christ. That's why you have the Anglican Church and you have all the Protestants which rule here in America, because of that sin of lust. So too, when we look at King Herod, it was that one movement of taking his brother's wife that caused St. John. What Hollywood often portrays St. John as what? Basically like a raving madman, right? Who's going around just denouncing people, yelling at people, angry all the time, just so furious and everything. Not the case. St. John the Baptist was a saint. He lived a saintly life. He wasn't just going off, flying off the handle, but rather he was preaching passionately the truth and knew how to do so in the right time, in the right ways, so the love of God may be proclaimed. How did he go to Herod to expose his fault to him? It isn't that he began preaching out and saying, here, this evil man who is doing this evil thing, why don't you denounce him all? He didn't do that. No, St. John the Baptist followed exactly what it is that Jesus speaks about in Matthew chapter 18. He went privately, sought an audience with the king, pulled him aside and said, hey, look, you've done what is evil in the sight of God. You need to reform so that you yourself can repent and then truly believe in the gospel, truly believe in what God is calling us to. Don't cause scandal. And so he did it quietly. Herod was irritated, probably, because word got out of that meeting, because, as you know, even with our government today, with those who are regarding our president here, can't keep secrets and won't keep secrets that they're supposed to keep. And so word spreads that this sin was exposed. And so he was embarrassed in that way and sought to have him captured. But he recognized that he was speaking the truth, which is why he loved to hear and listen to him, but did nothing about it. Did nothing about it the whole of his life. That sin right there created a whole cacophony of sins, didn't it? When you look at the life of Herod, you see that he fell into a great number of sins because of that, right? You see that he wrongly imprisoned John. That's a great sin. And that wrong imprisonment caused him to sit in the presence of him and like to listen, but not do anything about it. And so that's another sin of him being close to the truth, but then rejecting the truth, desiring it, but then continually saying, no, I won't listen. No, I won't do something. And I will keep this man bound according to this will. Then you can look at the sins that happened in the immediacy. Where he was there, he was a man full of lust himself, which is why he sought the beautiful wife of his brother, taking him to him, and then began to lust after his daughter-in-law. That young lady is his daughter-in-law, and lets her dance lasciviously in front of him, engaging in the drunkenness that was around there, the orgy-like activities that were associated with that, and partaking of all this in front of the prime people of all the area, engaging them in further sin. This sensual dancing that was going on led his heart even further astray to make a rash oath, didn't he? Made a rash oath. What does Jesus say? Our blessed Lord says, you should not swear rashly, but rather don't swear above heaven. Don't swear because it's God's throne. Don't swear above the earth because that is our Lord's foot, God's footstool, and all over. And let your yes be yes and your no be no. He takes a rash oath there, saying, I will give you anything it is that you want. What does she want? Moved by lust. The head of John the Baptist, the head of the saint, the head of the man of God. Murder is what she has on her heart. at this. He easily could have turned away, right? Easily could, because as we know, as St. Thomas and all the saints before go and speak, that when one makes a rash oath, and that oath to be fulfilled must result in a sin, a grave sin, one is no longer bound to sin, because one cannot swear, one cannot make an oath in order to do evil. It's already a moot oath to begin with. So he could have turned back, but he went forward. Why did he make this oath to begin with? We could say that probably he knew that this was going to happen. Probably this is what she wanted. Probably what really happened is that he had spoken not to the young girl, but he had spoken to the wife and said, hey, I'm going to make this oath. I'm going to make this opportunity here. I'm going to say this to your daughter. This is your opportunity to get it. And then in the sight of everybody else, my hands are going to be clean. It's going to look like I'm doing something and just going along with what I said. So there was more than likely a collusion between the two of them. And so asking for that John the Baptist's head was already a pre-planned thing, an opportunity to be rid of this man who plagues our conscience. And so he colluded in that way, and then beget that moment. Before all else, it looks like he's going to do something. He could have taken the opportunity, if he was a right and just man, to say, no, we can't do something like that. You can't cause me to do evil. He wanted to look good in other people's eyes. And so he continued on in this way, and took the head of St. John the Baptist. You can see time and time again, moment by moment, sin by sin, how that one began with that simple act of lust within his heart, seeing that she was beautiful and wanting him for himself, and then taking him, which is contrary to the law, beget all these other sins. So it is in our lives. So it is in our lives. The sins that we began start as something small. In fact, they start just like Herod's, as something which is secret, held within the heart. But when we don't attack those things, when we don't push them aside, when we don't ask for God's grace, when we don't seek his mercy, when we don't quickly confess them, expose them to the light of Christ, they grow, and they snowball into something which is great and seemingly out of control. And we started with something which was small and secret, and it ends in something which is great, resulting in death. Sin, it always results in death. What does the apostle say? The apostle says in Romans, for we know that the wages of sin is death. But what's the rest of that verse, do you recall? It says, but, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Life eternal. Life eternal. And so we see here that even though the wages of whatever sin we've ever committed in our life, yes, it is death, and it always leads toward death and tends toward death, even if it's just a venial sin, which begins very slowly, the wages of that sin leads toward death, but God always offers the opportunity for salvation, always offers the opportunity for grace, always offers us a moment for reconciliation. That's why St. John the Baptist willingly put himself in a position where he knew evil would be wrought against him by calling out the sin of the king, even in private. And yet, he willed the salvation of the soul more than he willed his own freedom and his own life. We can take that from St. John the Baptist, asking for the grace to have his same movement, to not expose people's sins to the world like Hollywood wants you to believe that he did, but rather to expose privately the sins of those who are around in a loving way. Hey, come back. Hey, this leads to your death. Hey, God has something greater. Come back. And by that, not fearing the person turning on you or being offended by the fact that you expose something that isn't going as well as it should in their life. Because the only thing that we want in this life is our own salvation. We have to speak out because of that. But we also want the salvation of those who are around us. Because love cannot exist where evil is. Love cannot exist where hatred is. Love cannot exist where God is not. And so we want everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ask St. John the Baptist for the way to say it, for the loving way to say it, and for the willingness to endure whatever comes our way because of it. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.